Chapter 8, Summer 2010. After the World Championships, Yadromir returns home as the conquering hero. The Czechs won gold, with Sidney in tow. His parents are overjoyed to see Sidney, of course, and immediately want to know how long he can stay.
I can only stay until NHL,
He looks at Yadromir. How do I say awards? Yadromir grins. To his parents, he explains,
Sidney is very big deal hockey player. Too important to stay all summer.
Yadromir!
He has to go back in time for the league awards. He scored the most goals this year.
Yadromir's parents knew that, of course. They follow the NHL. But they make much of Sidney anyway, both for that and for keeping up his check during the season.
I practiced with Petta and Denny, so it wasn't too hard,
he says, adding sheepish.
And their kids. The kids are more at my level.
Sidney is less interested in being a tourist this year, which makes sense. He saw most of the big sights last summer. Instead, he seems perfectly content to hang out with Yadromir's friends and pick fruit with Yadromir's parents. It's sweet. When Sunday rolls around and Yadromir's parents are at church, Yadromir teasingly tugs at the button of Sidney's jeans. Changed your mind? He asks, with an exaggerated leer. A little sin while the saints are praying? He's shocked when Sidney grabs his shirt and drags him into a kiss, open-mouthed and sloppy. Really? Yadromir asks, winded, when they break apart. If they really don't care, says Sidney, a little pink blooming on his cheeks. Then it seems stupid to, your dad can read what we're doing. I don't want to do anything while they're here. That would be embarrassing, but like, normal embarrassing, not, it wouldn't ruin things, he concludes softly. Yadromir has to kiss him a lot for that. Brave, Yadromir thinks, and beautiful. Two sides of the same coin in his eyes. In Yadromir's childhood bedroom, he tries his best to make Sidney come in his pants. Asks if he ever did as a teenager. Sidney admits it, blushing. This is what it should have been like, Yadromir whispers, with those boys who wouldn't touch you. It should have been like this. Small bed, close together, hands down your pants. Hockey posters on the wall. Getting cum on your clothes so you gotta do laundry. Embarrassed your mom's gonna catch you and know why. Learning how to kiss. Sidney protests. I know how to kiss. Yeah, Yadromir allows, undeterred. The fantasy has him in its grip now. But back then you didn't know. Yeah, Sidney's still thinking too much. They didn't kiss me. They wouldn't have. I would have been scared to ask. Yadromir shakes his head, plants his hands on both sides of Sidney's face, forcing him to look straight ahead at Yadromir. Don't think about that. Think about this. Think about me. Yes, Sidney breathes, softening at the edges like butter left in the sun. Afterward, as Yadromir mops them both up with Sidney's underwear, hey, it's a lost cause already. Might as well make use of it, Sidney asks. Was your bond crisis your first time? No. First time getting fucked, but not first time for sex. Yadromir pitches the balled-up briefs into the laundry hamper and starts gathering a new set of clean clothes. He hates putting already worn clothes on after a shower, even if they're still theoretically clean. I'd played around with Stonda by then, a couple other boys, fooled around with some girls. Yadromir grins, swept away in nostalgia for a moment. A lot of girls. Sidney laces his hands together behind his head and gives the ceiling a thoughtful look. I wish I liked girls that way, he says casually. Not just because it would be easier, obviously, but girls are so nice. Not all of them, says Yadomir wry. But yeah, you're missing out, he adds, teasing a little. I do all right, says Sidney, smiling up at him. Yadomir has to look away. I'll shower first, he says. There's another barbecue for the Kladno training group shortly after Sidney arrives. This one is also a retirement barbecue for František. Yadomir raises his glass and intones to a league that will be quieter, saner, more ethical. It's a toast, Yarda, not a roast, František says reproachfully. And less fun, Yadomir concludes, to a chorus of clinking glasses. There, Franta, did I do wrong? I don't know what you mean about more ethical, František sniffs. I only read people's minds if they really deserve it. That's certainly an ethic, Tom observes dryly. Lily Plekanets finds her way to Yadomir again, a year older and a hand taller. It's alarming. Children shouldn't be allowed to grow that quickly. He tries to convince her that she's now too big to be carried, which ends about how he expected it would. As he makes the rounds, Lily snug on his hip and tugging on his shirt sleeve every 30 seconds to demand food, attention, or both, František walks by and does a theoretical double take. What? Yadomir asks, irritated. Cryptically, František says, Wow, Plecky was not kidding. I hope that kid isn't allergic to irony and smothered dreams. What is that supposed to mean? Yadomir demands. But František, as is typical, swans away before Yadomir can shake any sense out of him. I'm not going to miss you, Yadomir shouts at his retreating back. But it's a lie. František retiring, it's the end of an era. He's younger than Yadomir, too. Yadomir doesn't like to think about that. Too loud, Lily complains, pouting. Sorry, Yadomir says. He's grateful for the distraction. Yadomir is eating a ripe peach out in the courtyard in the midday, fresh picked off the tree. It's a rare day off. That's a true day off. No meetings, no plans with friends, nothing to do but laze around the house and the yard, soaking up the sunlight and the scent of green things. He gets about halfway through his peach when a heat wave hits him. Not a physical one, though he breaks into a sweat anyway. He turns, and there's Sidney, devouring Yadomir with his eyes. Yadomir's father is at the arena. His mother is visiting a friend in the city. Yadomir smiles, slow. Want some? He asks, bending his wrist to offer the rest of the peach. The words taste sweet in his mouth. Everything tastes sweet in his mouth in this moment. Yes, Sidney says hoarsely. I do. He strides up to Yadomir and takes his mouth in a bruising kiss. Hands find their way under clothes. They kiss and kiss and kiss. Without looking or touching, Yadomir knows that Sidney is getting hard, knows the psychic traces of building arousal by heart. When Sidney pulls back a tiny bit, suddenly worried, Yadomir can't take it. I can tell if anyone's coming, he promises Sidney hurriedly. I'll tell you, don't. Sidney nods, his single-minded focus returning. He applies himself to Yadomir again. Before long, he's trying to tug Yadomir down to the ground. Yadomir steps back, lifting the remains of the peach between them, still carefully cradled in his left hand. Uh-huh, he says, half-teasing. It's a sin to waste a perfect peach. Sidney pauses. Gently, he takes the fruit from Jaromir, holds it in his hand. Yeah, he says. It is. He lifts the peach toward Jaromir's mouth. Jaromir leans forward to take a bite, but the kid pulls it back. Slowly, eyes locked on Jaromir's face, Sidney draws a line down with the peach until he's holding it by his hip. It's a sin, he murmurs, eyes still fixed on Jaromir's. Jaromir nods, his breath is coming faster. He bends to kneel at Sidney's feet, closing his eyes when the punch of Sidney's satisfaction hits him. Go on, Sidney says, quiet. He brings the peach to Jaromir's lips. Jaromir eats. When all the flesh is gone from the peach, he chases its taste onto Sidney's fingers, Sidney's palm, until all the golden juice is gone, and the familiar taste of Sidney's skin is all he can find. Sidney checks. You'll know if someone comes? I'll know, Jaromir promises. He breathes in, slow, hoping to catch the scent as Sidney unzips his shorts and pulls his cock out of his briefs. Jaromir doesn't wait for this, too, to be offered. Or maybe that's just offering enough. He nuzzles and licks and sucks. Sidney's hand in his hair, Sidney's breath coming in short gasps. When Sidney cries out, just once, Jaromir is ready. Sidney's pleasure leaves no trace, except what Sidney kisses out of his mouth afterward. Hungry, bending Jaromir over backward and bearing him down to the ground. After they're both spent, Jaromir makes Sidney pick them another peach to share. They pass it back and forth, lounging in the shade, sneaking glances at each other and grinning when their gazes cross. I would take 100,000 days like this, Jaromir thinks, tipping his head back, looking up, up, up past the green leaves into the flame blue sky. It's not that Jaromir didn't know Petra's contract was up. It just hadn't occurred to him that Petra might leave. Petra was so well-liked in Pittsburgh, by the guys, the coaching staff, the fans. But Pittsburgh management didn't like him enough to re-sign him. Where are you going? Jaromir asks, when he hears the news from Petra, drinking beer on Petra's back porch in the long, syrupy summer afternoon. Petra looks down at his beer. My agent's not having luck. Jaromir's stomach drops. Petra. It's fine, Petra waves a hand dismissive. Minnesota offered me a tryout, so I have that to fall back on if nothing else comes through before training camp. I'm sorry, Jaromir says. He doesn't regret bonding to Sidney, obviously, but he regrets like hell that he was responsible for knocking Petra off Sidney's wing. I know you liked Pittsburgh. I did, but you know, Petra shrugs, seemingly unbothered. Without a bond, it's hard to stay put. Everyone knows that, so it's not a surprise. Jaromir frowns, a loose thread of memory suddenly snagged. You were bonded in Jersey, right? To Elias? Petra laughs. Right for the sore spot, Yarda. Thank you. Sorry. No, it's all right. I was. Petra leans against the railing, looking out over the yard, into the past, probably. Petra always wanted to bond with a center, though. He picked Gomez, and the bond took. But between me and Gomez and his wife, his mind was pulled in too many directions. Petra tips his head back, squinting upward at nothing. I had a bad year. I was the one he let go. Fuck. Jaromir had never heard the whole story. He knew Petra was bonded on the devils and that he'd been traded, but that could have meant a lot of things. Petra could have asked for the trade, or the bond could have broken over a summer apart. I'm sorry, Petra. That's hard. What an asshole. Petra shakes his head. Firmly, he says. No, we bonded for hockey, and when it wasn't working for our hockey anymore, it was time to move on. We're still friends. That's more generous than Jaromir would be. But then again, Jaromir's never had a bond that was actually for hockey. So what the fuck does he know? Did you ever think about bonding again? He asks. Petra smiles and crosses one ankle behind the other, still bent over with his elbows on the railing. Once, in New York, but the guy I thought of asking, he had a bad experience with his first bond. I didn't think he'd ever want to bond again. His gaze flicks over to Jaromir. His familiar smile turns wry. Turns out I was wrong. Jaromir never knew. It had never occurred to him that someone so deeply good and trustworthy could have wanted anything from him. That someone easygoing and friendly and kind, who could have had someone equally kind in their head, equally good, would want the bitter drip of Jaromir's thoughts instead. Helpless, without knowing what will come out of his mouth afterwards, he says, Petta. Aren't you glad now that I made you make friends with the ducklings? Petra says gently. So you won't be all alone. They won't be you, Jaromir says, hoarse. If it makes him a coward that he has to look away while he says it, then so be it. At least he's an honest one. Standa, just so you know, Jaromir murmurs in Sidney's ear, likes men, and is single, and good in bed, and would never tell anyone. They're out at a bar in Klodno with a bunch of Jaromir's friends, all pretending to watch football so they have an excuse to drink beer and talk about nothing much. Sidney shoots him an irritated look that pairs with the whetstone rasp of annoyance coming through the bond. You were relentless, he hisses. That's a good thing. It's not. It had started in Germany at Worlds, out at bars and clubs, not much different from the one they're in now, out with other penguins who already knew Sidney liked men, or out with strangers who didn't know who he was. Jaromir has never believed the kid's line about how he's never going to fuck anyone else, and he still remembers the wisp of intrigue that wound itself around Sidney at the thought of hiring a professional who could be trusted to be discreet and emotionally unavailable. And since the kid is read blind, well, Jaromir could do him a favor by sorting through the interested glances and passing along which men were interested and which ones were interested. Sidney, because he is not so secretly a grouchy stick in the mud, has swatted away all of Jaromir's attempts. But Jaromir is wondering if he might do better with Standa, someone Jaromir can personally vouch for as trustworthy. Someone Sidney, so dismissive of the idea of sex with strangers, could get to know a little bit first. Don't you like him? Jaromir cajoles. Standa is nice. You like nice? He seems like a very nice guy to have as a friend, Sidney says, rolling his eyes. A friend with benefits, Jaromir says confidently, having recently picked up that useful piece of English idiom. Jaromir, I have told you. Look, just for comparison's sake, for all you know, I'm terrible in bed. You are not terrible in bed, Sidney says, offended on Jaromir's behalf, which is cute. How do you know? Sidney! Standa himself pops up beside them and gives the kid a sympathetic smile. Is Yarda being mean? He gets like this sometimes. Ignore him and he'll go away. Tell me more about you, about hockey in America. Jaromir only complains. I never hear the good parts. Standa's English, since he's a teacher, is excellent, and he's very easy to talk to. Jaromir is only too happy to drift away and let the two of them carry on the conversation without him. He's a little surprised, though, an hour later, to see Sidney and Standa still perched across from each other on their barstools, intently discussing something too quiet for Yaromir to hear. He pauses to take them in. Sydney, dark-haired and built, gazed like a hawk. Standa, rangy and blonde, with a ready laugh. He's Sydney's type, actually, Yaromir realizes with amusement. Tall, skinny, long-legged, and sweet. Easygoing. Yaromir can tell from the low-level hum of contentment through the bond that Sydney's enjoying himself. This might actually work, he thinks, deliberately turning away to face the TV. Sydney won't do anything if he thinks Yaromir is spying on him. When the football game ends, Yaromir looks around for Sydney and finds him, aha, on his way to the door, and not alone either. Sydney is looking up at Standa, shaking his head with amusement. Standa's hand touches the small of his back just for a split second. Out of the blue, he hears through the bond, with disconcerting clarity, the words, "If I do this, will you leave me the fuck alone from now on?" Yaromir blinks a few times, trying to reset the volume of his reading. When he can focus on Sydney again, the kid has an eyebrow raised, staring at him like, "Well?" Yaromir nods, flustered. Sydney looks away, says something to Standa that makes him throw his head back in laughter, and lead him out the door. Yaromir is left blinking for the second time in as many minutes. There's no reason for him to leave the bar, too. It's not like he was there just to try to get Standa and Sydney in bed with each other. But for whatever reason, the night feels like it's over. He walks back to his parents' house in the dark and wonders what Sydney is doing in Standa's apartment, in Standa's bed. He doesn't have to wonder, actually. Yaromir's been to that apartment, slept and fucked in that bed, and although Standa is a skilled lover, he's not a particularly creative one. Blowjobs to start, Yaromir thinks. If Sydney's staying tonight, Standa will want to fuck him. He'll make Sydney feel comfortable, touch him gently. He's not much for dirty talk, but he's not shy about showing his appreciation nonverbally. Sydney will like it. The thought makes Yaromir feel warm. He wants Sydney to feel good. To have good experiences. He wants Sydney to know he can go home with a good-looking man and it won't be the end of the world. He expects Sydney to want to talk about it the next day, but Sydney is perfectly blasé, goes to training with Yaromir and the guys just like normal, jokes around with Plecky and Tom just like normal, is ridiculously polite to Yaromir's mother just like normal. He probably didn't even go through with it, Yaromir thinks, annoyed. The first chance he gets, he calls Standa. He skips the pleasantries. So, you and Sydney. Standa says nothing else. There's a smug air to the silence, as if he knows perfectly well how infuriating he's being. Come on, Yaromir says, exasperated. You're not going to pretend that we didn't fuck? Don't be silly. Of course we did. But I'm not going to tell you about it, even if you're clearly dying to know. Standa, Yaromir says reproachfully. Yarda, Standa replies equally reproachfully. The young man deserves his privacy. Don't be a nosy motherfucker. I am a nosy motherfucker. Well, try being better, Standa says, tart as an apple. Yaromir fumes, but he can't really argue. He asks, did he like it at least? And only realizes after the words have left his mouth that they're a little insulting. Ouch, Standa exclaims. He doesn't sound upset. But I won't even tell you that. You can ask him if you're so hot to know. So there. Well, fine. Sydney will want to talk to Yaromir about it eventually. Yaromir's sure of it. But no, another day goes by without Sydney mentioning it at all, and Yaromir is still going out of his mind with curiosity. So Yadomir breaks down and asks, "Do you want to talk about it?" He's carrying two big buckets of gooseberries down to the basement to keep cool until they can be turned into jelly. Sydney, hands occupied with his own pair of buckets, blinks at him, exuding gray cloud confusion. "About what?" "About going home with Stonda?" "What about it?" He's not being cagey. The only thing coming through the bond is a vague, nonplussed,
"Question mark, question mark, question mark?"
Yadomir rolls his eyes. "Did you like it?" he asks. He can read the answer before Sydney's soft. "Yeah, I did." No fireworks, no sound of trumpets, but the echo of quiet pleasure, pastels and the feel of lush green grass underfoot. "Pleased?" Yadomir asks. "Gonna do it again?" Sydney shrugs. "Maybe." "Maybe?" Yadomir knows he's fishing, but too bad. Stonda's not here to call him a nosy motherfucker this time. Sydney shrugs again. "It's better with you," he says. "Oh." Yadomir can't complain about that. He catches himself smiling on his way back up the stairs and shakes his head at his own foolishness. When it's time for Sydney to return to North America for the NHL Awards, Yadomir's parents ply him with baked goods and fuss over him the whole way to the airport. "Thank you for having me," Sydney says, standing beside the car at departures, a little melancholy. "This is a very special place. I will miss it a lot." "We will miss you too," Yadomir's father says, a little slower than usual. He knows auditory comprehension is still the hardest thing for Sydney. "You are welcome here anytime." Sydney hugs all three of them fiercely, and then he's gone. After Sydney has departed and they're driving back home, Yadomir's mother leans forward to fix him with a significant look. "That's a very nice young man, Yarda, and he's very fond of you." Yadomir's a little surprised to hear her encouraging him to pursue a relationship with a man. He knows they don't necessarily disapprove of his attraction to men, but he didn't think they'd be cheerleading for it. "I'm not Sydney's type," he informs her. "He likes skinny, stringy guys, and sweet. He likes them sweet." She frowns. "You're sweet. You have to say that because you are my mother." She and his father share an exasperated look. "Well, you know him best," his mother says, in a tone of voice that communicates her extensive doubts. "You'll be going to visit his family later in the summer, I assume?" Yadomir rolls his eyes. "I'm not visiting his family. I'm going to North America early so we don't get too bond sick." "Mm-hmm." She pats his shoulder, and through the brief contact, he reads, "Let him call it whatever he wants to." "Well, I'll ask him what kind of treats his relatives like. I'm not sending you over there empty-handed."
"I would expect no less," Yadomir says with a smile.
True to her word, Yadomir's mother loads him up with goodies when he makes his trip to Cole Harbor toward the end of the summer. When he and Sydney aren't training, they pass the time in true, chill lake house fashion, fishing and swimming and grilling, and fucking in every room in the house when it gets too dark for the outside pursuits. When Sydney is asleep, Yadomir prowls the house, examining the ways it's changed since the year before. It looks lived in now, like a real home. There's art on the walls that doesn't look like it was picked out by a decorator. There are books on the bookshelves that Yadomir can't help but peruse. He doesn't find anything too interesting. Mostly more of the same kind of thing that Sydney has in their house at Pittsburgh. Romance novels, historical nonfiction, sports biographies, etc. On the far left of the middle shelf, next to a handful of bullshit pop psychology books about leadership, Yadomir's fingers pause on the slim spine of a book that reads, "Supporting a Friend or Loved One Through Recovery." Yadomir blinks,
pulls it out to examine it. It's exactly what it looks like. The spine is cracked. This is one the kid has actually read. He puts the book back, then sits himself down on the floor, back against the bookcase. He'd like to say that all he feels is gratitude. He can acknowledge that buying and reading that book was a thoughtful and kind thing to do. And among the other emotions duking it out in his chest, there is gratitude. But it's hard to shake the other side, too. The shame, the discomfort at being a problem to be read up on and solved, at needing to be treated with kid gloves, especially by a literal fucking kid. I'm supposed to help him, Yaromir thinks. His hands flex on his kneecaps, and he drags in a long inhale. He's been in therapy long enough to flag the shame as bullshit. It's not shameful to need help, and so it must be doubly unshameful to be offered help even when you may not actually need it. And the discomfort? Well, Petra had called him on it last year. You are never a bigger asshole than when someone is doing something nice for you. Yaromir doesn't like being coddled, but he lost the right to stand on his pride when he threw his life down the fucking toilet. Whatever coddling Sidney has been doing, he's had the decency to do it in small ways that Yaromir hasn't even noticed. That'll have to be good enough. It's more than good enough, really. Yaromir is a fucking adult. He knows that his first reaction, gratitude, was the right one. Sidney cares. He always has. It's part of what makes him great. And when he cares, he doesn't do it halfway. It means something, a lot, to be included in the circle of people who are illuminated by that care, however little he deserves it. Yaromir climbs to his feet and wanders back to the bedroom. When he gets there, he kisses Sidney's temple before he slides under the sheets, thinking, how do you get so good? The best part of the summer is the time they spend with Taylor, who tags along to training and likes to come over to swim while Sidney is grilling dinner. Yaromir makes a point of sitting on the dock to make sure she doesn't drown. Taylor makes a point of splashing him when he's not paying attention. One night, she props her elbow on the dock and says to him, too quiet for Sidney to hear, Sid really likes being in Clodno. He always texts me a million pictures of fruit. I think he'd like to spend all summer there.
I'd like that too, Yaromir says, although he knows it's not going to happen. Sidney would never snub his parents like that.
If he spends all summer there next year, can I come visit?
Taylor asks, words tumbling out in a rush, blinking up at him anxiously.
I know it's, like, rude to invite yourself over to someone else's house, but I...
A tear spills down the side of her nose. Yaromir tries not to panic.
I miss him so much, and if he doesn't come home for the summer, it'll be like I never see him at all.
You can invite yourself over to my house anytime, Yaromir says firmly. And yes, you can come visit Clodno with Sidney anytime you want, if your parents say it's okay. He tacks on. Taylor's shields betray a wave of rueful trepidation. For a moment, Yaromir feels thin ice under his feet.
Yeah, she mumbles. I guess asking you was the easy part. Ugh.
She dunks herself under the water, then comes up a few feet away and starts splashing him idly. He tries to splash back by slapping the sole of his foot against the surface of the lake.
He misses.
Taylor swims up to the dock again and hooks an elbow over it.
Can I ask you, like, maybe a weird question?
Absolutely.
Do you know why Sid doesn't ever talk about his girlfriends with Mom and Dad?
Oh, boy. Yaromir thinks. He isn't fucking touching that with a 10-meter pole. He's honestly shocked that Taylor wasn't the first person Sidney came out to. But he's obviously not going to tell her anything Sidney doesn't want her to know.
I don't know, no, Yaromir says, hoping that it won't ping as a lie. From Taylor's frown, he's not that lucky. That wasn't true, she says hesitantly. Okay, better answer. Yes, I know, but it's not my business. He picks up a pulse of annoyance from Taylor. Burr prickly, but she accepts his answer. I know he has girlfriends, she says, as if it's obvious. He tells reporters and stuff that he's too busy to date or he's just focused on hockey. But all NHL players are focused on hockey. And Sid's, he's not a robot. He just, she half laughs. He just plays one on TV. He has a life. I know he does. He just, she breaks off and pulls herself up from the water to sit next to Yaromir. Staring across the lake, she says, I don't like him keeping secrets from me. He could tell me. I wouldn't tell Mom and Dad. Dinner's ready, Sydney calls. Thank God, thinks Yaromir. That's for you to talk about with your brother, he says, as he hoists himself to his feet and offers Taylor a hand up. As he and Sydney are washing up after dinner, Yaromir mentions his conversation with Taylor. Sydney looks down, sharply, giving off a steam-burn flare of pain. I can't tell her, he says quietly. Why? She loves you.
Yes. That's the problem.
Yaromir tries to make sense of that. He can't. He demands, why is that? Because you're afraid to lose that? You won't. Of course I'm afraid that, but... Sydney sets his hands on the edge of the sink and leans into them, shoulders braced. If she knows, then Dad will fight with me about it in front of her. He sounds so tired, like he hasn't closed his eyes in a week. Right now, he won't say anything in front of her because it's a secret and he wants it to be a secret. But if she already knows, then she'll get dragged into it and she'll... Yaromir prompts. She'll defend me. Good, says Yaromir fiercely. Good, she should. No! Yaromir is shocked into silence. He's never heard Sydney raise his voice like that. Sydney exhales. His hands are clenched tight on the edge of the counter. Sorry, I shouldn't have yelled, but she's happy now, okay? She's happy. It's tense sometimes, but they get along. You think... The kid stops to collect himself. He closes his eyes. I know that it hurts, that it's so hard with him. I don't want that for her. That's the last thing I want. For a moment, total stillness holds. Then Sydney lets go of the sink and starts pulling dishes out of the water to load into the dishwasher. Shit, Yaromir thinks, still shaken. He's really thought this all out. He must be holding himself oddly or have made some kind of face. Sydney turns to him and asks, quietly, what? No reason not to tell the kid what he was thinking. You've thought about this a lot, Yaromir says. He realizes he's been holding himself tensed for a good 5 minutes and consciously forces the muscles in his hips and shoulders to relax. Sydney shrugs, sharp. He doesn't respond out loud, but the bond is so thick with smothered yearning that Yaromir almost coughs. You want to tell her, he realizes. Of course I do. Sydney sounds frustrated, almost angry. You know I... He turns away to grab a towel and dries his hands. After he's done, he says without looking at Yaromir, before, I didn't want to tell anyone. You know that. And it was okay. That's a lie, Yaromir says, as neutrally as he can. Sydney freezes for a split second, caught. He deflates, sagging into the counter, hands in his pockets. I guess it is, yeah. It felt like it was okay, because I didn't know. I didn't know how it would feel, having people know. I didn't know it would feel...
He shrugs again, softer this time. This is hard. Yadromir thought it was easy, but it's fucking hard. He sidesteps the dishwasher door to pull the kid into a hug. He knows it was the right move when he feels Sydney melt into his chest. She's your sister, not mine, Yadromir says quietly. I can't tell you what to do, but she knows you're keeping secrets from her, and... It hurts her, he almost says. But that's blackmail, even though it's true. He can't. You can imagine how that makes her feel, he says again. Sydney breathes in, breathes out. Yeah. He nods and relaxes a little further into Yadromir's hold. I'll think about it, he says, honestly. All I can ask, Yadromir replies, with a kiss to the corner of the kid's mouth. Yadromir is mostly spared dinner with the older Crosbys this summer, but he does get drafted to do some yard work for Sydney's parents one day. A vastly preferable alternative, as far as he's concerned. He gets to do something, be out in the sun and fresh air alongside Sydney, and most of all, he doesn't have to make conversation with Sydney's father. That counts for a lot. Of course, as Yadromir has learned, Sydney's father is by far the less formidable Crosby parent. When Sydney needs to head out for some lunch plans with old friends, and Sydney's mother asks Yadromir to stick around, Yadromir's pretty sure it's not a coincidence. He's right. Do you remember the first time you and I had a real conversation? She asks, yanking weeds decisively out of some raised beds. I remember it some, Yadromir says warily. You told me that you and Sydney are friends. We are. Who have sex. Yes. And that you don't love him. There's nothing accusatory in her tone or face, nothing in his reading, and yet it still feels absolutely like a fucking accusation. I care about him as a friend, Yadromir says, as evenly as he can manage. But the kind of love you're talking about, no, that's right. That was more than 2 years ago, I think, she comments. Yes. She moves her knee pad down a few feet. Can I admit something? Yadromir doesn't respond. She's not actually asking his permission. I really thought you would change your mind. Or, rather, I thought Sydney would change your mind. Yadromir has been attacking a dead stump with a shovel for most of the last 15 minutes, and he decides to keep attacking the stump with a shovel. God knows he has fuck-all idea what else to do in response to that statement. When we spoke 2 years ago, you told me that it was Sydney's age, in part, that made it hard for you to see him as a potential partner. It's hard for Yadromir to put his finger on it, but he's pretty sure he disagrees with the fundamental premise of her question. Or statement. Whatever. I'm not taking applications, Yadromir says, clinging to calm with his fingernails. If this is where you try to sell me on Sydney, you're missing the mark. Sydney is a great kid. He's going to make some guy a great boyfriend. Someday. With all my heart, I agree with that, okay? But not you. Not me, ever. Yadromir agrees. And not anybody yet. Sydney's mother tilts her head, weeds dangling from her stilled hands. What do you mean by that? You don't think Sydney is ready for a boyfriend? Yadromir shakes his head. Sydney doesn't think Sydney is ready for a boyfriend. He doesn't want one. I find that very hard to believe, she says. Which is fair. She's been in her son's house. She's seen his books. Whatever Yadromir inferred from them, she's more than smart enough to infer too. Yadromir sighs and leans against the shovel, giving up on the stump for now. I would know if he was lying,
Look, it's complicated. He's a romantic. Of course a part of him wants that kind of love. And I want that for him too, okay? But there's a block in his head too. He just can't imagine having that life. Can't imagine even taking the first steps leading there. It scares him too much. Dating, being open. The look on her face is unreadable. But whatever it is, it makes Yadromir feel defensive. Look, do you want me to say it's sad? He snaps. Of course it's sad. Of course, I've never met anyone so cut out for the... I don't know how you say it here, but for this. Yadromir waves his hand at the suburbia around them. She raises an eyebrow. And you're not cut out for this. It bores the shit out of me, Yadromir says bluntly. Pardon my language. Sydney's mother studies him. The weeds are in a pile at her feet, forgotten. Does Sydney bore you? She asks. This, interestingly, isn't an accusation. He can tell, but it kind of pisses him off nonetheless. No, he says between his teeth. He could elaborate, but he doesn't feel like he owes her that. She's still studying him. Her shields are good, but he can tell her mind is working furiously. You want a future for Sydney that doesn't have you in it, doesn't really even have space for you. I hope we'll still be friends, Yadromir responds. I think we will be, yeah, of course I do. Sydney needs one thing, I need something else. Then why, I hope you'll pardon my bluntness, are you still here? She asks. Yadromir's been playing hockey a long time. He knows what it looks like when someone throws down their gloves. What a question, Yadromir says, flat. Kind of sounds like you're trying to get rid of me. She purses her lips thoughtfully. I'm not trying to take out a hit on you or anything, so I think that's a bit dramatic. But as far as the general thrust, yes, she nods, just once. Yes, unfortunately, I think I am. Unfortunately, Yadromir repeats, incredulous. Does he not understand the word? Does it have some other meaning he's unaware of? Well, if you were taking applications, as you put it. She rises to her feet, dusting off the knees of her jeans. Then it would be a different story, because I think in most ways, you're actually very suited to Sydney. You make him happy. But it's a parent's job to think long term. And that means what? She looks him straight in the eye. It means, if you're still not interested in being the long term partner that we agree Sydney needs, then I think you should step out of the way so someone else can be. Yadromir stares. What the fuck? He thinks. What the actual fuck? This is his problem? His fault? He'll take the blame for a lot of shit in the world, but not Sydney's neuroses. Not a single fucking one of them. And especially not this one. No, fuck that noise. Fuck that noise. Distantly, he notices that he's shaking. The shovel hits the ground beside him, and he doesn't care. You really want Sydney to have a real love life? A boyfriend? A husband? Kids? Then the person you should talk to lives in that house right there, Yadromir says, pointing. It's not me. Look a little closer to home for that one, Mrs. Crosby. His breath feels jagged in his lungs. Done with the conversation. So very done with this conversation and all the conversations like it. He turns to walk away. From behind him, he hears, Mr. Yager. Yadromir pauses, takes a breath. He turns back. I asked you to call me Yadromir, he says as neutrally as he can. And I asked you to call me Trina, she says, with every outward evidence of pleasantness. Did I call her Mrs. Crosby? Shit. He had, so he's lost the moral high ground there. Trina, he says. She nods. Yaromir, you know my son very well, probably better than I do. I imagine you know that that's not easy for me to admit.
Yaromir nods back. He doesn't want to be here, in this garden. He doesn't want to be standing still anywhere at all. His legs ache for the sweep of skating blades. He wants to move. But Trina is Sydney's mother, and that means something. So he stays put, at least for now.
Because you know Sydney so well, I have to take what you've said seriously. I do take it seriously.
She finds his gaze and holds it.
I imagine you've guessed that I've tried to deal with the issues closer to home. I have tried, but I have to admit that I could do more, could have done more.
She looks away just for a moment, long enough to show, for the first time, a crack in the foundation.
Sydney is so confident, so much his own man. It's hard for me to believe that the words of one person could still be exerting so much force over him.
Yadromir's shields are very good, but 20 feet and a concrete wall couldn't have kept his incredulity at that statement from spilling out.
Trina acknowledges it with a little smile that's not a smile.
To you, it seems it's very clear that's foolish, but you are a person who still thinks of Sydney as a child, so I hope you'll forgive me if I don't entirely accept your perspective. The knife goes in and out so smoothly that it takes Yadromir a second to realize he's bleeding.
Still, again, even if I don't totally accept it, like I said, I have to take it seriously. And I hope you'll take what I'm about to say seriously.
Yadromir's still trying to cope with having been verbally shivved in such an elegant way. She's staring right at him, no looking away now. Her gaze burns.
Even if you're right about the root cause, you still have some share of responsibility. How can Sydney find a boyfriend when he's still living with and sleeping with another man? And we both know he couldn't bring himself to break things off with you, even if he were ready to look for something real. You have to know that, if you know my son at all. Please, Yaromir, just think about what I'm saying. That's all I ask.
Yaromir plays her words through his head again. All her words.
You said you could do more, he says. Then he waits.
She doesn't pretend not to understand.
I will do more, she says quietly. You have my word.
Yadromir nods and walks away. She probably expected a reciprocal promise, but he doesn't care. He's not going to promise to think about her bullshit theory because he already knows she's wrong. Right now, Sydney isn't ready to look for a boyfriend, isn't even ready to be found by a boyfriend who's looking for him. Yadromir isn't holding him back from jack shit. And even if Sydney were ready, there's no reason he wouldn't tell Yadromir that. Trina's mistake is the same mistake she's made before. There's no question of Sydney breaking up with Yadromir because they're not dating in the first place. He and Sydney are roommates. And yes, Sydney is a soft-hearted kid, but not so soft-hearted that he couldn't ask Yadromir to get his own place when the time comes. Besides, odds are, Yadromir will be long gone by then anyway. He won't stick around long enough to be a stone in the kid's path.
Thanks for helping out with the yard, Sydney says that night, curled close. It's balmy enough that the windows are open. The breeze feels like silk on Yadromir's bare skin. And thanks for staying with Mom when I had to go. I know she was really looking forward to talking to you without Dad there.
Yadromir makes a polite, nonverbal noise in response. He's still clinging to a little afterglow and really not in the mood to recap his conversation with Sydney's mother.
I'm really glad you guys get along so well. Not today, Yadromir thinks with a sigh. He realizes that's the kind of thought that Sidney couldn't hide from him. So in the interest of fairness, he repeats it out loud. Not today so much. Sorry. Sidney frowns. What happened? A little disagreement. About me. About you. Yadromir agrees. No point trying to bullshit him. Sidney props himself up on his elbow, eyes narrowed. She was trying to get you to be my boyfriend, wasn't she? That's basically right, and Yadromir says so. Sidney sighs. Sorry about that. I'll talk to her. Again. It's okay. I don't want a boyfriend. It's not like I haven't told her that. Sidney has said those words to Yadromir more than once over these years. Every time it's been the truth. But this time, Yadromir is startled to realize it wasn't. Sidney may think it's still the truth, but Yadromir can feel the stretched rubber tension within Sidney that pulls in the opposite direction from the words he spoke. Something, finally, has tipped the scales away from fear just enough that fear no longer outweighs desire. Yadromir wonders if Sidney even realizes it, how his own internal calculus has changed. God damn it, Yadromir thinks. He's not stupid. He can see how this dovetails with his conversation with Sidney's mother. It doesn't mean she's right, but it does mean he can't entirely dismiss her argument. Yadromir mashes his face into the pillow in annoyance. It was so satisfying to be righteously indignant, to be sure that his read of Sidney was right and hers was wrong. To have that certainty unceremoniously stripped away, to actually have to think about it, is like having a fucking splinter stuck right in the tender skin between his toes. Sidney asks, with an underlying thrum of concern, Yadromir, are you okay? Yeah, Yadromir sighs. Yeah. He should just keep his mouth shut, but he finds himself saying, Don't take this the wrong way, but I'm not sorry we're leaving soon. I get it, Sidney says quietly.
Of course I get it.
Next summer, the scent of peaches ripening in the midday sun. Next summer, maybe we can stay longer in Kladno. Next summer, we'll probably break the bond, Yadromir thinks. But he can't bring himself to say it. It's a sweet wish, shimmering and buoyant like a bubble. No reason to break it now. I'd like that, he says. And he lets the thought carry him down into sleep.